going to have a good time with that. You got, somebody should say amen. All right, we're going to have a great time this morning. But we're wrapping up. We got one more series, one more message in this series called Metamorphosis. And I was really thrown down a challenge last week. Dan did an awesome job. Anybody want to say amen to that one? Dan did a really awesome job, and he told me to share with you he was able to go see his father. He made a trip, and so I told his service he had no choice after that. And so he wants to be, and he does a great job, and so I appreciate that. But I'm going to have to step it up now, you know. And I don't think I'm going to be that energetic. But we've been talking about this metamorphosis, and we're not talking about butterflies. I've been talking about the change that happens in our lives, that we cross this invisible line as Christians, and you make that decision, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them. You're in my life and take control. And you cross that invisible line, and you begin to serve God, and you begin a long process of becoming like Christ, right? But we're living in a society that says, don't worry about that. We're living in a society, and what I've been trying to lay out before you is, society has thrown up this funhouse mirrors for us. Society has, you know, the funhouse, right? You go and look at that mirror, you know, makes you tall, short, what, you know, it does all sorts of things to you. And society has taken that image that we present, that marred image. See, we were created an image of God. You get a little outline out, you can follow me. I got that verse. I've been that verse every week because I think it's such an important verse. I am created by God. Look at what it says. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We're created in the image of God. We're not created in this funhouse mirror. Yeah, we are marred. Sin marred us. Sin messes us up. Sin gives a brokenness to us, and we're all messed up, and we look at this mess mirror, and society says, oh, that's okay. Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, we know you look funny. We know, but we're just going to call it something. We'll just name all that. And society just kind of says, you're okay, just like you are, but yet inside of us, maybe inside of you, you feel maybe some emptiness. Maybe, you look in the mirror and you feel maybe some uselessness. Maybe you feel life is meaningless. You know, maybe there's, just a brokenness in us. And society says, don't worry about it. We're all broken. Just look in that mirror and you'll be okay. And we'll just give you a new name. And what I've been trying to say is we need to come back to that image of God. We need to quit looking into that funhouse mirror and look into the face of God and realize that every one of us is made by God. Where you've been, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where your journey in life has taken you. I don't care what anybody's ever said to you. You were made in the image of God. You are special. You're unique. You're valuable. You're meaningful. There's something in you. God created you that way. And society kind of puts all this other stuff on us, and we keep looking at it, and we see in this brokenness, I'm okay. You ever seen anybody that was broken and they're saying they're okay around? I'm okay. I'm okay. You know? I didn't hurt myself. I didn't hurt myself. Anybody ever? You know, that's kind of what society's doing today. And so what I want to been doing and what I've been trying to challenge us with is that, yeah, we're broken. But quit looking in the funhouse mirror. Let's look into the face of God. Let's come back to that image of God in us. The image that God, when he formed us and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, he made us. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of talk about how. How does this happen? What's going on here? And so I'm going to kind of use an illustration this morning. Maybe you've seen a show. Anybody ever seen one of those Flip This House shows? Anybody ever watch one of those Flip This House shows? You know, my wife watches them all the time, gets all sorts of good ideas. No, honey. No, honey. You know, we can do this now. We can try this now, you know? Well, I kind of want to look at our Christian walk as this Flip This House kind of thing. Because I want to tell you, you are a temple of God. That when you cross that invisible line, that when you make that to follow God, God places in you, from that moment you decide, God, I'm tired of doing it my way, I'm going to do it your way, God puts in you his spirit. Here's what it says. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. 1 Corinthians 3:16. That the Spirit of God lives in you. You are a temple of God. You are a house. So I thought, hey, you know what? Let's flip this house. Anybody want to flip this house? You know, I want to flip my around. I want my life to be different. I want my life to be meaningful. I don't want to be broken. I don't want to be empty. I don't want to be meaningless. I don't want to be in grief and broken and regret. I don't want any of that in my life. And so I'm going to flip this out. And so I thought this would be a good illustration this morning. Let's flip our house. Let's flip this temple that God has given us. You watch that show, you know, and they go around, they show houses, you know, and they're going to pick a house. Anybody ever, you know, they pick a house, we're going to do that. And they put an offer on the house to buy that house. Well, I got something, I want to tell you something. You were already bought with a price. Jesus already brought you back. Jesus seen in you, and God seen in you something special. He's seen that image of God. He's seen what he created in you still is there. It might be marred. It might be messed up. We might be hurt. We might be wounded. We might be broken. But God looks into us and he sees that image of God in us. And he buys us back. He purchases us back. That's what I have right here. 1 Corinthians 6:20. We were bought for a price. So bring glory to God in the way you use your body. He bought us. He paid the price. I couldn't pay the price for my sins, but Jesus did. And he brought me back. Just like you go in and put a bid on a house, Jesus Christ put a bid on us, but it wasn't a bid, it was the price. He paid it. Whatever the price was. Easter's coming. You know Easter's coming? I know it's Easter's coming, so I got jelly beans, okay? We'll talk more. We'll talk more about jelly beans later, all right? Yeah. But we know Easter's coming, and Jesus, God bought us. He paid the price, for the wages of sin is death. And who died? Jesus. Who rose? Jesus. He bought us back. So I'm a temple of God. I've been bought by Jesus. Now we're going to flip this thing all around, right? I'm going to begin to go back to that nature of God. Get off the mirror. Get off that weird-looking guy in that mirror. Anybody look in the mirror this morning and say, man, that guy's weird? Or you're like me. I look in the mirror and go, I see my dad. Anybody do that one? Now, ladies, I hope you don't do that, ladies. But, you know. But we got to quit looking in that mirror. We need to look into the face of God and see what God has. Because God has a plan for us. You know, they buy that house. They go get this house. And they walk around trying to figure out, okay, now what are we going to do? And they start laying out a plan. They start kind of figuring out, okay, we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. And we're going to fix up. Well, let me tell you something. God's got a plan for you. God's already got a plan for you. He created us in his image. We messed it up. He buys us back. And then he says, here's my plan. I put it right here for you, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. There are plans for peace and not disaster. Anybody want peace or which one would you like to have? I want peace. I don't know about you, but I'm going to take peace there. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Anybody want a life like that? Society, let me tell you, society offers you, come on, live like the world. Find emptiness. Come on out here and party and live like this and find brokenness. Come out here and live like this. Live like everybody else and have regrets. That's what society, is that what society's offering us? Would that be that word disaster? And Jesus is saying, listen, I got a better plan for you. When I created you, when I formed you, I put within you my image. Now I brought you back and I got a plan to make it all come back. And that's what I want to kind of talk about. How does that happen? How do we go about flipping our life? Now, I want to be real specific here, all right? I want you to write this word down. As a matter of fact, well, it's not there. I think, oh, yeah, it is. I want you to circle. I put a definition there called restoration. To bring into its proper condition, whether the first time or after a lapse. I'm kind of wanting the after the lapse part, all right? It's kind of a lapse. I kind of messed up my image. I don't know about you guys, but I had some sin in my life. I still have some sin in my life. I don't, you know. There's still a constant battle going on, all right? But I want to talk about restoration because, God bought us back to flip us, but not to fix us up. It's not a matter of we're just going to go fix you up. Society wants to fix you up. Go see a counselor. Now, we do need to see counselors. But don't see a counselor who's not a Christian. Can I say that? You know, they're going to offer you the world's kind of solutions, and I want you to go to God for solutions. And we do need to see counselors and get some help there. But we're not going to flip this house to fix it up. We're not going to flip this house to upgrade it. We're not going to flip this house to, well, we're going to flip the house to restore it back to its original form. I just want to make sure you get a picture here. I don't need anything new. I just need to get back to God. Does that sound okay? You know? I don't need fixing up. I need God. You know, I don't need any upgrades. I need God. So this flipping this house and this flipping the temple that God's going to do in us, he's going to restore that image of God. All right, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. I want to get back to that original image. So I want to talk about, and I want to make sure you get a picture. We're talking about restoration this morning. So I hope you get that picture. And I want to make sure you get this picture. It's a long, slow process. I was thinking about it the other day. I've been a Christian since I was 17. I'm not going to figure out how long right now, but it's been a while. All right? Like 2 years ago. All right? You guys are slow. Real slow this morning. And but it's a slow process. But how does that process work? What goes on? How do I make this happen? So I put it here. I said, how to cooperate. Why don't you start cooperate? That's in there. Big, bold print there. What we need to do is we need to cooperate with God. God's already working with it because who's in us? Remember, we started out with that passage here. The Holy Spirit's in us. And so we're just going to join with God and flip this house. We're going to make it work. We're going to pick. And so when you do it, when they're going to flip a house, they have to have some tools. So I brought my, well, a little toolbox, okay? And I brought some tools that you need to flip your house, right? So if you're going to flip your house and you want to become more like God, here are some tools you need. See, I got the toolbox right there for you in your outline. You can fill these out as we go through here. Look at the first one here. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you draw the Holy Spirit? I got a fire. How's that? Well, it should work. Yeah, there's a fire there somewhere. If you're going to when you're going to cooperate with God, you got to realize the Holy Spirit lives in you. This is not a job that you're on your own with. It's not like, I wish you well, good luck restoring yourself. I couldn't do it. I need the Holy Spirit that's in me. And I want to make this as clear as I can. When you cross that line, it's not a Johnny-come-lately spirit, okay? When you cross that invisible line, when you get that point, however you worded it, however you said it, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take care. Whenever you reach that point, God comes into you and he dwells in you in the Spirit of God. Am I clear here? You're going to cooperate with God. He's already given you the Spirit. You have already one of the tools you need, okay? You need the Spirit of God if you're going to restore yourself. So you got to get the Spirit of God. I just had a lighter, best I could do. How about this? If you're going to restore yourself, you're going to need a Bible. Now, everybody got a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, tell somebody on the way out, we will make sure you get a Bible. Now, if you got a smartphone, there's a Bible there for you. YouVersion Bible. You need a Bible. This is one of the tools. You'll need a Word of God. You need the power of God with the Spirit, and you need the Word of God. You need to be reading this and studying this and part of God's Word. This is another tool you need if you're going to fix up your house. Can you imagine somebody coming over to your house? Oh, I'm going to restore your house. It doesn't have a toolbox. Well, where's your tools? Oh, it's just, I don't know. You need tools. So there's a tool for you. I got another one here. What do I have next? Oh, I love this one. How about prayer? Yeah. You want God to speak to you, you read your Bible. You want to speak to God, you pray. We just did for prayer, didn't we? You talk to God. God wants to hear from you. If you want to restore your life, you want to get your life back from this meaningless, useless, regret-filled life to a life that's full and meaningful. I love that passage. Jesus come that you might have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Prayer is one of the tools. You need to pray. Now, you don't need to pray an hour every day, all right? Now, that if you want to do that, go for it. But you just need to talk to God. Speak with God. You got to pray. You got to spend some time with God and pray. How about this? Some of you, I've been asked this question. Do you really need to go to church? Look around. There's a lot that didn't. Do you really need to go to church? You know what? I'm going to tell you what. You need church. You need a church. You need a local family of people who are going to support you and walk with you and be there for you. And there should be an image. There you go. You got a church certificate here. Yeah. And you join a church, and you get that sense of belonging. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You get around others who are in that same boat with you. You know, have you ever felt like nobody understands? Nobody knows the woes I've seen. Anybody? You know, then you start talking to somebody, and you go, they had it worse than me. You know, we all, you know, we're in this boat together, and so you need a church. You got to be part of a church if you need a tool here. Don't think, well, I don't need to go to church. I had, when I was in college, when somebody told me, one of my professors, I only go to church when I need to. My comment to her is, I'm going to tell you now, you need it every week. I'm in your class. She didn't like that. Can you imagine me being a smart mouth kid? Yeah. How about this? This says prayer, but have you been in a Bible study? You need a small group. You got to get in a small group. You know, it's fun to come in here. I'm going to tell you, I love this right here. I love preaching. I love sharing God's word. I love sitting there trying to figure out a passage of scripture. Daryl and Dan know what I'm talking about. You wrestle with a passage. How can I make this come alive? How can I get this out there to people? And you get all excited about it. But you guys don't get to ask me a question. I don't have time. Yeah. But you get in a small group, right? And what can you do? You can talk. You can ask questions. You can try to figure things out. It's like, I don't understand this. You know, Gary said this, and you know, well, I read this and this, and I don't quite understand what that says. You need a small group. Anybody okay? Yeah. You need a small group. And then the last one, again, I like this. I like this one. Don't you like my little one other? You need one other person. You need just one person in your life who can look you in the eye and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. Gary, do you really understand what you just said? And I'm going, no, but I said it. No. Gary, you're over the line right now. You need one person who you're willing to listen to, who you're willing to let say, you know, you are right now. You know, fortunately, I never get that way, all right? Some know better, don't they? Some of you have been with me for a while. So that's what I put as a toolbox. What do you guys think? Is this a pretty good toolbox? If you want to grow in God, if you want to be transformed, flip this body that God has given you. You're feeling useless this morning. You're feeling broken this morning. You're feeling meaningless this morning. You're feeling empty this morning. Here's your tools. You don't have to feel that way. Society's saying, oh, you're okay. We'll get through this. Pat you on the back. Take you to a bunch of other people just like you and say, look, everybody else is that way. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be like God. Anybody? You know, I want to be in the image of God. And so giving me these tools. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These tools do no good sitting here on this table. Build me. I've got to do something. That's called cooperating with God. I join God. All right? I'm going to be real. If you don't go to church next Sunday, guess what? You missed it. You blew it. You missed one of the tools that God wanted you to hear. Because next week, guess what I'm going to preach on? I'm going to preach on this one next week. Not the lighter. What is it? All right. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit next week. Yeah, we're going to see what God has to say about that next week. But you'll miss a blessing. You'll miss the fellowship. I can't imagine not going to church on Sunday. You know what? So blessed. Just so you guys know, you guys get one small group. I go to a small group on Monday and have a great group on Monday. We have a lot of fun on Monday. Then I go to another group on Tuesday and meet some people, and we sit around and talk, and I have a good time on Tuesday. Wednesday, I get together with some other people and enjoy the fellowship and the friendship. Thursday morning, I get together with the ladies and eat their donuts. You know, I enjoy it, you know. Then I come Thursday night and I get the kids, and I'm going to tell you, you want to get excited? Look at the kids, man. Here, listen to the kids tell you about God and Jesus. Go sit there and ask the kids to pray and watch the kids pray. See, we got to cooperate with God, and we got to plug in. So how do we do this? You know, so here's our tools, and I think I got what, four things, five things here? Let me go real quick over these five things about how do we put this into action. What do I do with these? Now that I got my tools, what do? So the first one, if you're looking at your outline, I put it this way. Focus on one change at a time. All right? Now, if you're like me, I got about 100 things that need fixing. Anybody else? All right? I'm all jacked up, okay? I'm broken. I'm a mess. You don't think so? Ask Laura. Some of you don't even have to ask Laura. Some of you have been with me long enough to know I'm a mess. Yes, Evie, amen. Evie raised a sign that said amen, and she's right. We got 100 things to fix. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to fix everything right now. Anybody? Pick one thing. What is it you need to work on? You know, I'm going to work on anger. I'm going to work on control. I'm a control freak, and I am. You know, I don't know what yours are, you know, and whatever that I'm going to work on. But you pick one thing. What is it that you need to work on? Because if you pick everything, you're going to get discouraged. Well, I can't do anything. Anybody ever said something like that? You know, you get all this stuff. You're trying to do something. You get all this stuff. And you're trying to figure out how to make this thing work. And you go, I give up. There's just too many parts, too many pieces, too complicated, too hard. I'm overwhelmed. I quit. Pick one thing. This is where your toolbox comes in handy, all right? You go to church and you find some other Christians around you. You pray to God and, God, I need to have one thing. God, what one thing would you make me better tomorrow? God, I'm talking to you. God, I'm going to read your word. Find me one thing, God, one thing. You know, God, you know, there's like nine of those fruit, spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. There's nine of those. Okay, you can skip patience if that's okay. I'll let you do it if you let me do it. You going to let me? You're not going to let me? Then you guys got to do it too, okay? You know, you can pick one. You got, there's eight Beatitudes. You know, you want to be a peacemaker? You know, there's eight Beatitudes. Then, you know, love, man, love. Well, we just love. Then go read 1 Corinthians 13. It really gets into deep. Well, I love everybody. It's not rude. Oh, man, I'm rude, ain't it? You know, and so you got, you know, God, I'm going to read your word. And what is it that God wants you to work on? One thing. Just one thing. So focus on one change at a time. And then the second one I put down here is this. Focus on God's power, not your willpower. Anybody got strong willpower? I got strong willpower. It was strong enough that, you know, we did our greeting in here, and I had some stuff I had to put in the office, and I went into the office, and in my coat pocket in the office are some jelly beans. So guess what I reached in my coat pocket when I walked by? My jacket hanging in my office. I got good willpower. I told Laura the other day, I only get jelly beans once a year. I do, once a year. It's Easter. The only time I get it is Easter. It's a whole time frame of year, right? You know? They're 99 cents at Walmart. So it's once a year. When now Walmart has them, once a year, I go down there and get them off. You know? Do we have strong willpower? Anybody got strong willpower? Have you ever did this one? I know I've done this one. I'm going to go on a diet. Yeah. We think it's not our willpower. We cannot do this. I can't do it on my own. I need God's power. I like this passage. I thought this was really neat. Can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you always have done evil. Anybody besides me in that one? See, my personality is aggravate, so that's fun. But then I like this one. I can do all things by myself. I can do all things because Gary is strong. Why don't you circle him? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I still remember this. We went to the youth to clean up Jeunesse Park, and they challenged the kids to purity. They challenged our teenagers to purity. And back to the cabin that night, and I start talking to the kids, and they go, "Well, we already know that. You know, we're strong enough not to do that." And I looked at him and I go, "You ever seen a pregnant teenager?" And he goes, "Oh. Yeah, uh-huh. We're strong enough, all right." Willpower doesn't get anything done. You need the power of God. That's where your toolbox comes in. You think the Holy Spirit's going to help you? You think maybe God's word can help give you some strength? You think prayer change some things? See, you got a toolbox. You sit there and go, "How can I, here's what I hear. I don't know about you, but I've heard this. I don't know what to do. And God said, "I gave you a toolbox." Anybody? Here's the tools. What do you mean you don't know what to do? You know, pull out that phone. Go to YouVersion. There's a Bible verse every day for you. Did you know that? There's other Bible programs on there, but I like YouVersion. I really, you know. And I like, just so you guys know, I enjoy it. I get people who what do they call those things? Images with verses in them. You know, and I get notifications when some of you have completed studies and you've friended me. And I said, "Yeah." And I tell you, congratulations. And I like that. And because I like encourage you. That's part of that small group thing, isn't it? You know, that needing others around us. So we can't do it on our own, but we got the Holy Spirit to help us. Focus on one thing. Focus on God's power, not your will. How about this third one? Focus on good things, not bad. Now, some of us in here are pessimists. I know of at least one. All right. I'm not going to talk about Dan right now, but I'm not going to, you know. He threw me under the bus last week. Turnaround's fair play. All right. But some people are, you know, you're always on the negative side. Let me ask you, have you ever done any of this? You know, you had your Bible out, you read your Bible. I read my Bible. I missed two days this week. Wait a minute. You know what? I did 5 days this week. Which way am I going to look? I'm going to go 5. Anybody on that one? All right. Don't count your failures. Count your successes. Does that make sense? You know, because if you just keep counting your failures, well, I'm no good. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but this is kind of what happens to me, you know. I make a week this week, and then next week I miss two. Then I'll make it all week next week. Then next week I'll miss three. Anybody been in that one? I wish, you know, we just want to kind of just go like this. And I'll just keep getting better and better and better and better. But I don't know about you, but my life goes like this. Anybody on that one? You know, we need to look at our good thing. We need to start looking at things positively. We need to start looking at things in the positive way. Okay, one of my battles. Anybody might be in my boat? Anger. Anybody got a battle with anger? Confession's good for your soul. Thank you. I got some good confessions out there, all right? But you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not going to work on anger. You know what I'm going to work on? Gentleness. Kindness. Patience. Now, if I'm gentle and kind, what happens to my anger? Does it kind of get better? See, why don't we make it, you know, we look at, I'm going to quit doing this. The ladies have donuts on Thursday, or various sweets, thank you. You know, and they put them in the refrigerator after service. Just so you ladies know, there's one cinnamon roll thing left. I was tempted this morning, but I had jelly beans instead. All right. Yeah. But it's sitting there. Yeah. See, I ate all but one. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I'll take one home and eat for lunch, and Friday morning I come in. I got to have one Friday morning. Yeah. And then I was down here yesterday, you know, so I had to have them yesterday too. Yeah. See, I'm going to count my successes. I didn't eat any on the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Because they weren't here. All right? See, we got to look at the positive side. We got to start looking at the good side of things. Look at what it says here in God's word. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Why don't you underline that or circle that whole last phrase? Think about such things. you know, brainologists or whatever you call the guys that work on your brain, that study your brain. You know, there's pathways that shoot across your brain. Yeah, you probably conversations and those pathways and it starts making a pathway. And if you got negative pathways, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So what you got to do is start creating positive pathways. Because once it sends a signal down there, it starts, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. And it starts building a bigger pathway. I think we need bigger freeways. Anybody on board with that one? You know, that would help my anger too. But no, I don't need bigger freeways. I need bigger gentleness and bigger kindness and bigger understanding. Is it? Am I right? See, and so I got to start looking at the good and not look at the bad and start figuring all these things out. And just off the bat, you know, right in here, just if you take one of these things right here, you know, there's literally thousands of promises in here to help you. Did you know that? I'll give you a great challenge. I'll give you one that's really fun. Read Proverbs. Just here's the thing. Today's what? The 7th? Is today the 7th? 6th? What is today? Huh? 7th. Okay, today's the 7th. Thank you. Turn to Proverbs. It's almost in the middle of your Bible. Flop your Bible open. If you hit Psalms, go back a little ways, all right? Or go forward a little ways. That's right. It's a little ways forward. Just read the number 7. Tomorrow, get up and read number 8. Read number 9. Read all the way through. What's nice is when there's 31 days in the month, you get all 31 of them. That's good wisdom in there for you. Good positive feedback for you. Read God's word and pray and see God work. How about the next one? Focus on people who help, not hinder. Focus on people who help. Anybody got that friend that pulls you down? Anybody got one of those friends? You know, negative Nelly, can I say that? You know, just always, you know, that glass is half empty. You know, everything's always empty. You got to find people who are going to be positive, people who are going to lift you up, people who are going to encourage you. You got to have those people around you. That's why I have that, at least that one. That's why you have a small group. That's why you have a church. People who are going to support you. We all know, I'm going to tell you, we all know we're going to screw up. Anybody here not going to screw up today? Nobody raised their hand. Thank you. Yeah. We're all a mess. We're all broken. And so we're all in the same, you know, we can come in. I'm Pastor Gary. Some of you guys know me. You know that ain't going to work. We've been with you when you drive. We know that one ain't going to work. We're all broken. We're here together, man. We're here to lift each other up. And it's, well, you messed up. You can't come in anymore. You can't be one of my friends. You can't. We need to be encouragers of one another. We need to pick each other up. We need to lift each other up. We need to bless one another. How many of you ever told your kids, or maybe you were told, anybody ever tell you, you got to watch out who you hang with? Anybody ever been told that? You got to watch out who your friends are. And maybe you're an adult. You told your kids, especially when they get to be teenagers, watch who you're running around with. Does that go for adults too? Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. And I'm not just talking about behavior. I'm talking about encouraging words. We grew up with a statement that I think is as false can be. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never... Is that a lie? Isn't that a lie? See, when we talk about bad behavior, don't just think about behavior. Think about those words people say to you. You know, sometimes you got to kind of put up a fence around some people's words. You got to choose those friends who's going to help you, not hinder you, that's going to pick you up. That's what a church, why do you go to a small group? You know, why do I come to church? Why do I choose that one in my life? You know, I got this box here, man. I need those friends. Where am I going to find those? You know, I pray for my grandkids to find. I did it this morning. I prayed for some of you in here, just so you know. Some of you are getting added to my list this morning as I'm looking around. I got to add this one. I'm praying for them right now. I'm praying for them to choose the right kind of spouse. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for the boys to be godly men and that God will give them a godly woman. I pray for the girls that God will give them, that they'll be godly girls and God give them godly women, that they'll build godly homes. And I specifically pray that. And I tell you, you know where you're going to find those godly people? At the bar. Come on! At school. You're going to find them in college. Maybe if you go to a Christian school, you got a better chance. Where are you going to find them? You know, I walk around praying for this church and the kids that's got married in our church. I just go down the line. You know what's so fun to me is to see how many of them married kids in the youth group. Guess who married a kid in the youth group? Guess who married a kid in the youth group? Guess whose cousin married a kid in the youth group? Where are you going to meet those? We need one another, and you need church. Am I being wrong? You need those people that are going to be there for you and help you and do that in your life. Let me get this last one in. Focus on progress, not perfection. Focus on progress, not perfection. In case you don't know this, let me make this so you understand. You're not perfect, and you never will be. All right? Well, wait. You never will be this side of heaven. How about that? We're not perfect. So what we got to focus on is, am I making progress? Here's what I always tell myself. You know, my life's like a roller coaster. Anybody ever ride a roller coaster? You know, you go up and down. Anybody ride those roller coasters? My goal for me, because I know there's going to be high points and low points. I just want to make sure I'm up, I'm down, down. Now, next time I go up, I don't want to go down so low. You know, here's my objective. This is for me. My next low will not be as low as my last low. Does that sound okay? Is that progress? Three steps forward, two steps backwards. Guess what? I'm still a step ahead. All right? I'm still a step ahead. I'm one up. And we need to see that. We got to count our progress. We got to count how we're moving. Here, look at what God's word says. And I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. You get what he's saying there? You're not perfect. You'll never be there until Jesus comes again. Just keep going. He's not done with you. Isn't that nice to know? I've shared this many times because it's so group that sang when I was in college. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. That praise God, I'm not what I was. Anybody on board with that one? I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not there yet. I'm not even who I'm going to be. Thank God I'm not. That God's not done. It's not over yet. And here's the good news. God loves me today the same as he loved me 10 years ago. And he's going to love me the next day. His love's not based on how good I am today. You're good today. I'm going to love you more. That's not God. God loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. And you know how much he loved you? Look at the cross. That's how much he loved you. Jesus died on that cross. He's not done with us yet. We're not who we're going to be yet. But you got the tools, okay? So here's my question to you this morning. What are you doing with your toolbox? What are you doing with your toolbox? Well, my Bible sits on my shelf all week. I pick it up and bring it Sunday. Well, now I don't even need to bring my Bible. I got my phone. So my Bible's got an inch of dust on the table. I go to church when I feel I need to. Well, I got news for you. You need to. I don't need a small group. And I'm battling and I'm struggling and I don't understand and anybody and I, duh. Here's your toolbox. I'm going to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing with your toolboxes? We're flipping this house, okay? I don't know about you, but I want to flip myself. I was thinking, too bad I can't do somersaults. Get up here and talk to the Baptist and flip off. I'm too old. But you know what? I'm not who I was. I'm not even who I'm going to be. To praise God, I'm who he wants me. He formed me. He breathed in my nostrils the breath of life. He did the same for you. There's no accidents. There's no mix-ups. There's no problems. We're all the image of God. So I'm going to ask you this morning, get your eyes off that front house mirror. Quit looking at and society saying, well, you're okay. Don't worry about it. Look at everyone else. Get your eyes off that. Being broken and empty, and worthless and useless, regrets and frustrations. And get your eyes on God. Get that image of God. He sees it in you. He bought you with a price. Jesus died for you. And he wants to restore you to that image. He's giving you the tool. What are you doing? Bottom of your page, I put it this way. My one thing. What's your one thing? What's your one thing this morning? Write something down. Don't look at me. Write something down. I left a blank there for a reason. I'm a type A personality. You got to fill every blank in. That's my personality. You give me a blank, you got to give me something that goes in there. But what do you need? Positive. Pick a positive thing. One thing, just one thing that you're going to focus on. Not on your willpower, but the power of God. That you're going to find some people who's going to support you and encourage you. That's not going to hinder you. And you're going to see the progress one step at a time. Is that okay? What one thing do you? If you don't know what it is, here, I'll give you that here. Start praying right now. Just say, you know what, God, I don't know what to put there. God, you tell me right now, God, I just don't know what to. Write prayer. Just write prayer right there. And just start praying, God, what is it I need to work on the most? What is it? What is that one thing, God, that would change me the most? Just pick one thing. Because again, I put that verse there again. I am sure that God who began the good work with will keep right on helping and helping you grow in his grace until the task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. It's not over yet. That's why I'm going to leave. It's not over yet. It's not done. So what's your, here's your tools. What are you going to do? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a gracious and merciful God. That while we were yet sin, brought us back, marred, broken, hurting, and wounded. You brought us back to restore us. And so, Lord, use your power. We want to cooperate with you. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, you know what? I want to cooperate with God. God, maybe you're going to say, I don't know. Maybe you picked your one. And you want me to pray for you. Say, I've wrote mine down, or I'm going to pray for mine. Would you pray for me that God will work on this one in me? Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want to change, who want to be different tonight and tomorrow. And they've identified something, Lord. Now I ask you to step into that midst of their life. Use your spirit. Use your power of your word. Use the ministry of prayer, Lord. Let the church and let the small group, let us all support one another. Lord, I lift them up to you right now. As a church, I bring them into your presence. You may encourage them and strengthen them. Let them see the possibilities. Let them see the progress and not the perfection. Let them find those who will encourage them and walk with them and support them. Lord, be in the midst of their lives in a special way, for they seek the image of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. In the God. Amen. We'll by the end of our service and give an invitation. I'm going to be here to pray with you. I don't know what God is doing in your heart. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line. You know, you might think you're a Christian. I'm going to be real specific. You might think you're a Christian this morning, but I'm going to be real. You're not a Christian unless you did something like this. Unless you reached a point in your life where you said, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Turn my life and take control. I wasn't a Christian until I was 17 years old. I went to church. I was dragged. Anybody else been dragged to church? I was dragged to church. And you go to church. You cry in the morning. So mom and dad asleep in. You don't have to go, right? Never worked. Never worked. But I was 17. Maybe you need to make that decision. Maybe you made that decision and maybe you just feel kind of empty and you feel kind of broken.